April 19th, 2010 meeting of the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee. My name is Jamie Ross. I'm either chair or acting chair, and I'm calling this meeting to order. So the first order of business will be to call the roll. Okay, so when I call your name, please stay here. Okay, Shahram?
Present.
Okay, Khan Hallinan? Okay, Khan's not here. Sasha Futron? Okay, Leslie Radford?
I'm here.
Great. Okay, Kim?
I'm here.
Kim. And your last name, Kim, is Kaufman?
Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N.
Okay, fantastic. Alberto Luera?
I'm present.
Okay, Benito?
Right.
Here, okay, Kimmery?
Here,
okay. Let's see, is Gregory Isaacs here? No, he's not here. Okay, Betty Dobson?
Here.
Excellent, Jamie Ross is here. Okay, Jennifer Jagger?
Here.
Okay, Afia Nwangaza?
Here.
Here, Jim Bennett? No, Jim can't bank it. Okay.
He can't hear because the WMNF has its board meeting on the third Monday of the month as regularly as clockwork.
Yeah, he actually notified us of that last time. So one of the things we have to get to is to set a meeting date for next month that is not the third Monday of the month. But anyway, I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 committee members on the call, so that constitutes a quorum. Also, I'd like to note that our executive director, Arlene Engelhardt, is here. Welcome to the call, Arlene.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're most welcome. Okay, our next order of business will be to make an agenda. So let's see. We had I sent out a draft, which was very much of a draft, based on some items that had come up last week. And then in the interim, Benito sent a couple of more items. Let me just pull those up right here, and we can see how we want to do these things. Okay. Okay, Benito added election process for committee chair and election of committee secretary. So we'll add those into the mix here. Okay, so anyway, the draft agenda items that we had were a report from Arlene. The second would be how we're going to structure our report to the PNB, what we want to have in it, and how to get the info to put in it. Item number three was an item that Afia suggested last month about the Al Jazeera newscast. Item number four was an item I suggested was a follow-up on the December 08 PNB motion calling for stations to submit plans to increase listenership. I actually forwarded that motion around. And then we had Benito's items for election process for committee chair and election of committee secretary. Let's see. Because I don't want to, I would like to get to Arlene as soon as possible. How about we do it like this? We have Arlene first. Then we have two and three would be election process for committee chair and election of committee secretary. And then four would be our report to the PNB. Five would be the Al Jazeera issue that
I'm going to ask that the Al Jazeera piece be deferred to the next meeting because I wound up not I was supposed to get more information and I haven't done that.
Okay, fantastic. I'm sure that'll make our lives easier. Okay, then four would be our report to the PNB. And then five would be to follow up on the 1208 PNB motion calling for plans, stations to submit plans to increase listeners. Are there any other items people would like to add to the agenda for this evening?
I have a motion. This is Leslie. I have a motion for this body, but I'm afraid this evening's agenda is pretty well full, so I'm going to, I think, defer until a later meeting.
Okay. That's fine. If you would like to put it on at some point after the first three items, that wouldn't be the end of the world. So.
Oh, okay. It's a motion I've been passing around about making sure that stations have policies and procedures in place.
Okay, we could, if you'd like, we could put that as item number 4 or item number 5. How about item 5?
Sure. Yeah, that's
okay.
Fine.
And have it on.
I'm just putting stuff down. Okay, Leslie, and you've actually sent this motion around, right? I remember seeing it.
Yes.
Okie dokie, that sounds fine. All right, well, that would probably be a pretty full agenda. Oh, and I'd like to say I hope that we could close the meeting by 10:30. I think that would be good for us all. Okay, so then the agenda as it stands now is a report from Arlene, second, election process for committee chair, third, election of committee secretary, fourth, our report to the PNB, define, determine how to get info, fifth, the motion from Leslie regarding what did it regard again, Leslie?
Confirming we have policies and procedures in place at the stations.
Okay, regarding station policies, of course. And then fifth, then sixth, if we get to it, follow up on a 12:08 PNB motion. Okay, are there any, that seems pretty good for tonight. So are there
Jamie?
Any?
Jamie?
Yes? Is that Afia?
No. Jamie, it's Jennifer.
Oh, Jennifer, yes.
Plus, I heard somebody else as well. Okay. Can we have some time after Arlene's statement to discuss it?
Sure. Sure. It'll be Arlene's report and Q&A and whatever.
Okay.
That I would assume that would come in there. Yeah, that's the way I thought it.
All right.
Okay. Are there any objections to this, to adopting this agenda as it stands? Okay, hearing none, the agenda is approved. And then we'll go straight to Arlene, to a presentation from our executive director, Arlene, and then we can ask her questions. And I would hope that Arlene would not only address whatever she has to say about network programming, but also if you, Arlene, you have any ideas about the role, what our committee could do to help, or what the role, you know, what your view of the role of this committee would be, that would also be helpful.
You know, I've got a number of things that I'd love to throw in there, and you can listen, you can question, you can accept, you can throw out.
Sure.
I'm also interested in some feedback on some of the issues that I'm putting together a short presentation for Saturday morning. And the title of that is, it ties in with obviously the resolution that you passed back in November 08 that I actually wasn't aware of, but it's increasing listenership, you know, through programming, and I'm expanding that a bit beyond that and trying to look at some of the issues that are involved, and I'm interested in any input that you all have that might feed into what I'm going to say on Saturday, too. But some of the major issues that I see there are that as much as we may complain about the expense or whatever else, Amy Goodman is still the flagship of this network. And we need more than one flagship. We need several programs that are of that caliber. I'm not suggesting that we should dictate that stations have to carry them, but they should be available to both the network stations and to our affiliates in order to offer them the opportunities for enhanced programming in whatever ways they choose within their local communities. There are a number of things that have, you know, been suggested along this line, and one of the ones is one that you basically tabled, but that I probably should make you aware that we're working on making sure we have contacts, and that's on Al Jazeera. And then George Ryder has offered to be the contact person there to find out what kind of a deal we could work out and if we're, so that we could at least put it on the table and see if we're interested. It's something that I get approaches whenever I'm talking to groups asking if there's anything being done about it, whether it's LSBs, whether it's people out in the community or whatever. So I see it as something that we should be exploring. Another thing that in addition to having, I would love to see us have, let's say, a half a dozen things that were available to our both our network stations and the affiliates if they wish to pick them up. I think that we also need to be looking carefully at what the tone of our programming is. One of the most frequent comments that I hear when I'm talking to people out in the community, and of course I'm hearing it more here in Berkeley than I am anywhere else because I'm spending more time here, but I've heard this in New York, I heard this in Washington, and actually those are the only other two places where I've actually been out in the community and gotten into conversations with people about whether they listen to the local Pacifica station. And the most common thing that I hear is, well, I used to listen to it, but I don't now. So, of course, my next question is, why? What caused you to stop listening? And I usually get some version of either I got tired of hearing about their internal battles, I got tired of hearing about their internal politics, I got tired of hearing their internal squabbling, and the second most important thing that I, the second thing that I would hear is there are too many programs that are too negative. It's not, and they weren't talking about, you know, the content. In other words, the fact that I rarely hear anybody talk about Amy Goodman as being negative. A few people tell me that she's more serious than what they want to hear, but most people love Amy Goodman. But they want to hear the programming presented in a way that doesn't give a downer perspective to it. They're not talking about cutting out all editorializing, but it's just basically the tone with which we present our information. So I think those are two, you know, really key areas. What kind of programming do we make available across the network? And secondly, what kind of tone are we coming through with on the air? I think in addition, we need to look at things like, how do we make people in the community more aware that we exist? It really upsets me when I run into somebody in any one of our cities, or this used to happen to me in Tampa, I'd meet somebody and I'd find out that they'd been living there for 5 years and they'd never heard of WMNF. I find people here in Berkeley, not nearly as many, but that have never heard of KPFA. There's something wrong with the way we're getting the message out, and I don't think that we can depend on the usual way that radio stations promote themselves, partly because we come from a different bent. We are not a single-format station. That's part of the reason that we can't use their methods, and partly because we're not a commercial network or we aren't commercial stations. So we have to find, I think, some creative ways, and that may be a little beyond the purview of your committee, but I'd love it if you all came up with some creative ideas. I mean, obviously, the best way for us to get the word out about the fact that we exist is not on our airwaves, because if people are listening to our airwaves, they know we exist. That's not the problem. So those are two big areas that I see. And then another thing that I might mention to you, I've had in my talks with different, mainly staff groups around the country. I've mentioned the programmer's agreement and the volunteer handbook that we had developed at WMNF. I had a lot to do with developing that programmer's agreement, and it basically has evolved over a 10-year period. And a lot of stations have asked for copies of it, and so I have sent copies out to all five of our network station general managers or interim general managers, in a couple of cases to the program directors that had requested it. But one of the things that people have been intrigued with is, I'm not saying it's perfect, but one of the ways that WMNF has at least begun to deal with the aspect of ownership of programs and that is by doing a review of programs every 2 years, and then when they come out with the tentative schedule, or not tentative, but the pretty much agreed upon schedule for the coming 2 years, people have to apply for the program slots, even if it's a program that they've been hosting for 20 years. It doesn't mean that they will automatically still be the host. In practicality, what are the odds? Pretty high. But it does sort of change the thinking from I own that slot to the station gives me the privilege of being the programmer at that particular time on that particular show. And I offer that as a resource that, you know, WMNF is more than willing to share with all of you if anyone's interested in getting copies of that. But I'm most interested in getting some feedback from you on this, what you feel and see about how we can utilize programming to increase listenership.
Okay. So does that you'd like to hear from us now?
Sure. And I'll be glad to answer any questions or whatever else too.
Okay. Why don't I take a stack in 1 sec? I just want to send out Leslie's motion here. Okay. So would anybody like to ask a question or make a statement to Arlene? Could I take a stack?
I would like to be on the stack, but I really don't want to be the first.
Okay,
Alberto. I don't care. I'll be the first as long as I can reserve, you know, some time way at the end so I can cover my butt if I stick it out too far in the beginning.
Okay, so I have Alberto, Kim, and Benito. I'll put myself on the stack. Is there
Jennifer?
Jennifer, okay.
Jasha with a quick question.
Jasha would have a question.
And Leslie.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
And Jamie, did you get my name? I'm sorry, Sharon.
Sharon, okay, sure.
Thank you.
Sharon and I think, so I have Alberto, Kim, Benito, Jamie, Jennifer, Sasha, and Sharon, and Leslie, sorry. Okay. All right, why don't we go ahead.
Point of information, sir?
Yes.
Is it possible, again, and this is just a question, is it possible to go down and maybe get the questions to Arlene first and then the comments to Arlene and the second batch following the same stack, or does it matter?
I don't know.
What do you guys think?
It probably, you know, people are going to comment
okay.
Questions no matter what.
Well, let me start then, Jamie.
Why don't you go ahead, Albert?
Go ahead and start. I'll be the first.
Be a trailblazer.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Arlene.
Yes.
I have made comments, I've made comments. Unfortunately, we cannot do anything until the year 2012. I will agree with you that Amy Goodman's show, Democracy Now!, is a flagship of the Pacifica Network. However, when we entered into an agreement, and again, I might be stepping out of bounds because I wasn't there, but when we entered into an agreement with Amy Goodman, the situations back then were very different than they are now in the year 2010. And I can understand how we, the Pacifica Foundation, was very interested in putting enough fuel into the jet plane to help Amy jump the time barrier and bring her show to the world the way it has now gotten to be. She is now in over 850 stations, several cable networks, a TV show, and obviously from what I have heard in the rumor mill is that Democracy Now! Incorporated is very well, doing very well financially, and has surpluses for continuing their expansion into whatever other areas they want to go into. I will point out that it has become extremely more and more difficult for Pacifica Foundation to continue the high rate of fees that we're paying Amy Goodman at the moment, given the fact that she is now well-funded by the 800 stations that I'm sure are providing financial income. And I think that we should try and begin setting the stage so that we get a very decent break. If nothing else, that we get charged the same amount of money that stations like us get charged throughout her Democracy Now! Network. I think we're paying too much money that we do not have available at the moment, and our injection to get her going has helped her tremendously, and maybe we can start looking at reworking the 12 contract from now.
Alberto, I'm sorry.
Can I break in just a second?
Jump in here real quick. This is kind of getting somewhat out of the purview of our committee, I think. So, but you know, it's fine now, but it is some more of a financey kind of thing.
I agree with some of your points, Alberto, and I'm addressing some of those, but I don't think this is the right forum in which to be addressing them. And let me just leave it there. But
yeah.
I think points are very well taken.
Thank you.
But we have to start by showing some good faith and making some payments to her.
Okay. Good. Okay, thank you, Alberto and Arlene. Okay, next person on the stack will be Kim with a question or comment and or comment for Arlene in response to her presentation.
I wish I had taken notes now because I forgot half of what you said or what I wanted to say, but I would start with...
By the way, just I don't know if you all have met, but Kim Kaufman is an LSB member from KPFK.
Right. I mean, one thing I'm just... To your point about the kind of programming, I know we all care about social economic justice in the world, but if I don't hear the word oppressed people for a while, I will be happy. I mean, we can talk about situations, but they're just, especially on KPFK, there are just some programs where this is a program about oppressed people. And I mean, it's just, maybe we can look at things in a different way that makes people want to turn on the radio to hear our programming, you know, without just being NPR, Happy Talk. It's just a different way of framing what we do. I understand that a lot of people just don't want to hear that, you know, hear the issues framed in a way that makes them want to go hear something else. Arlene, I can't remember the other things you said. I wish I had taken notes. And then, you know, about advertising. There are two ways to look at this. One is you advertise the station, KPFK, or, you know, you market certain programs and hope that gives lead-in. And one thing that we've been doing that I think has been successful is, and I know there's a technical word for it, but certain shows have been doing little programs for other shows. And since we've had a lot of changes, that helps people who may only tune in for their one show hear about some other show that will go, oh, that sounds interesting. I think I'll turn into that, or I forgot about that show, or something
so
like that.
A creative way of cross-promoting.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, again, just to, you know, you either promote the network, Pacifica, or you promote certain programs or blocks of programs or kinds of programs that are two different ways to look at how to get listenership and brand identity. And the other thing is, you know, I mean, I don't know if there's...
Let me just make one comment before I forget it. that ties in with the idea of cross-promotion, with the fact that our average amount of time spent listening, you know, by our core listeners is relatively low for the radio market. And so you're talking about ways to increase that, which is also, as you say, an important part of increasing listenership.
Yeah, and I mean, it really, we're not, because we're getting more and more fractured, and we're trying to reach out to different constituents, we're losing, talking to people, we're losing the people that used to turn on the state KPFK and listen to it all day long. They're like, well, I still have a few programs I like, but, man, I can't listen to it all day long. There's just too much weird stuff or yelling stuff or, you know, like unfunny stuff. So, you know, the more we try for diversity, the more we're going to lose people who just used to. And that's, we're never going to have people who can listen all day long because nobody's apparently that diverse, you know. And the other thing is, if we go for strip programming, which I know some people promote, that seems that if you make a commitment to somebody doing a five-day-a-week or a group of people doing a five-day-a-week, that costs money. I'm not saying that's good or bad, but that is seems to be what it takes to get that kind of a quality level of programming.
You know, I don't want to hold WMNF up as a perfect example because it isn't. It's got its share of problems, too. But they do, during the daytime, do a lot of strip programming because people tend to want something similar, that's the theory, when they're tuning in, particularly at work or during drive time.
Right.
And they do it with volunteers, and it's high-quality programming. So I think it is possible to do it.
Right.
You have to work hard at it, and it takes some training. And that may be one of the places where we've been weak.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Arlene, and thank you, Kim. Let's see. Next on our list to respond to Arlene's comments or ask a question is Benito.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, first of all, in terms of what do we do to get people to listen to the station, and I know everybody's going to say this, is we got to give them a reason. So the question is, what is the reason? I know that here in D.C., for instance, many, let's say, regular listeners, members, etc., have been clamoring for a local news show for years and years and years. And despite and the station management, both present and prior, have all known about this. Yet, and, you know, and various programming committees over the years have, you know, spoken to it, and LSPs have spoken to it. But we've never gotten the show, you know, and to, well, we have gotten something. We have more than before. And so now we have a 6 o'clock, 1 hour, regular news show, whereas before it was, that slot was given to Democracy Now a second time, during the day. However, a lot of that is stuff that, was recycled from shows that were put on during the, earlier in the day. And so we don't have regular regular news, local news, and that's something that a lot of people have been, you know, people end up listening to NPR because we're not providing that. So I think that that, number one, would be one thing in particular. But and in general, what that speaks to is, I guess, we need to find ways to make some kind of scientific survey of some sort so that we can find out what people actually want, is basically what I'm saying. So that's number one. Number two, in terms of how to, where, what or other, I think one of the other questions was, how can we promote the station other than through the airways? And the first thing that would occur to me is that, well, we're supposed to be a network that promotes the people's movements, or at least that's my understanding. I don't, you know. And so I would say that if we were to develop, you know, in each city, if we were to develop lists of people's organizations and start to develop, partnerships with them of one sort and another, then that would not only help with fundraising and during the pledge drive, but it would give, you know, folks in those organizations, if those organizations felt that the local station is putting on their events, you know, promoting their activities and this and that, then they would have a concrete reason to not only participate in the pledge drive, but also help us with, you know, augmenting membership and push, our membership with amongst their membership. So that's number one. And the same thing goes for music or culture. You know, my understanding is that PFW has a lot more music than some of the other stations. I take that for whatever it's worth. I don't know to what extent it's true or not. You know, I know that we have a lot of music, and I also know that is what brings people to the station. You know, and so, you know, some people want to talk about, we should just have talk, you know, because that's what political people want. Yeah, well, we need to expand. Number one, we need to expand from just political people. We need to be dealing with everyday people. And I know myself, for instance, as political as I might be, I was attracted to PFW because of the jazz, not because of, some public affairs show or something. But I'm saying that with regards to the music and art, you know, D.C. has a lot of, the Smithsonian Institution and others have a lot of artistic events. You know, I know that PFW has partnered with Smithsonian and various other organizations, and it seems to me that if we make ourselves present and bring flyers to every concert and, you know, other, like, let's say, art exhibitions of one sort or another, then, you know, and also develop some kind of artistic shows in addition to music, you know, that's the kind of things that, you know, would, whoever doesn't know about PFW now would know about it then. You know, and the same thing for the other stations.
Okay, so. Thank you, Benito. I'm sorry, I didn't. This is Benito Diaz, the LSB member from Washington, D.C.
Right, and I should perhaps break in and say that, first of all, our D.C. station, at least the last Arbitrons that we had there, had the largest, greatest market share of audience of any of our Pacifica stations. So that's perhaps something for us to look at and to take some of those comments to heart. You brought up a couple of things, Benito, that I meant to mention that I forgot to, or that tie in the things that I meant to say. One was when you were talking about news, one of the things that I meant to bring up that people have been bringing to my attention is how much we need a true network news. You know, we do have free speech radio news, but a lot of people say that they don't find that it compares with the old Pacifica network news, and that's something to think about. The other thing that I might mention there is that, again, going back to my experience with WMNF, they brought an hour news program to the table, about 8 years ago. And it is labor-intensive, I think that is one program that can't be done without some paid staff. But in addition, they have a training twice a year of volunteers, and the volunteers are asked to commit to doing one story a week for a year if they're accepted into the training. I'll also say that they don't have a tremendous success rate with that. Out of a class of 10 to 12 people, they're getting two or three people that actually deliver on that one story a week. But that does increase the number of people, especially since they've been doing this now for a number of years, the number of people that can cover local events and get those stories into the newscast. And they intermingle those with some of the free speech radio news items that are well chosen, and occasionally things from other programs, but it's usually something that may have been taped in advance for the next day. So consequently, the news is getting, you know, the break on whatever it might be. That happened quite a bit with the show that I was part of. They would take things that we did on healthcare particularly, because we had some outstanding guests on the healthcare issues. So, you know, the news, that's so well taken. And then the second thing that you mentioned is, you know, partnering with organizations. And I thought your idea of keeping a list and getting information out to organizations was a tremendous idea. I really like that, Benito.
Thank you.
And one of the things that I'm trying to put into place at the national level is doing some partnering with national organizations with some of that same purpose in mind. And we're starting off with the Childhood Obesity Project that WPFW has a grant toward part of that, and I'm going to be attending the National Press Club kickoff, and we're hoping, I'm going to be sending something out tomorrow to all of the stations, hoping that every station will carry something regarding that program, either on, hopefully on May 3rd, but if not on May 3rd, very close to it, promoting the importance of this in the community. And while it's, you know, it's not, quotes, peace, it certainly is an aspect of social justice, but it doesn't bring into play some of the negative words that have been mentioned, but rather it's a way of enhancing the health of our community and of our nation. And so I hope that we can do this with a number of things, including things like the peace marches and, you know, some of the anti-war movements. A number of people have mentioned to me that they wish we had been much more involved as a network in the healthcare debate, or should I call it insurance reform debate, etc. So there's a lot going on there and a lot of possibilities, I think.
Okay, thank you, Arlene, and thank you, Benito. Okay, let's see. Next on the stack is me, so I'm going to call on myself. Let's see. First of all, I'd like to say, Arlene, thank you so much for coming on the call. It's very good to hear what you're thinking. I also would like to echo the point that Benito made about people end up listening to NPR because there's people that should be our people. There's something missing from our programming. I encounter that a lot. For some reason, they get more what they need from NPR, so they listen to that more often, which is a disturbing thing. And I'd like to think overall there is a market for good Pacifica programming that's well done, that touches issues that don't get covered by NPR, at least not by the national NPR shows very, very well. You know, here in New York City, we have some excellent programming that, you know, that covers a lot, you know, topics like the economy or global warming and these issues in an extremely satisfying and detailed and informative way. You know, the problem is our schedule is kind of up and down. As I believe it was Kim says, you know, our schedule throughout the day tends to vary, can vary widely from one thing to the next, so you don't really keep the listener. Let's see, a couple of specific points if I haven't forgotten them yet. my gosh. Let's see. Well, one thing I would ask you, Arlene, you have some ideas here for revitalizing our programming. You know, typically what's happened in the past is Pacifica has done some national events, For example, we did an excellent broadcast of the Winter Soldier hearings, I believe, that took place 2 years ago outside of Washington, D.C. And it was excellent radio, really gripping testimony of people in Iraq. But some of the stations didn't carry it, or they only carried little bits and pieces of it. So there's definitely a resistance to carrying stuff that's not on the regular grid. Somehow that needs to be worked around. Let's see, you mentioned, can this committee come up with creative ideas to advertise and raise station profile? Let's see, Benito had some good ideas there, as did Kim. Another thing, related thing, it'd be nice if we could get broadcasting of events that happen in the listening area, you know, live broadcasts. We had a good broadcast here about 1 year ago of a speech and an event around Noam Chomsky, which was doing live radio outside the station gives a certain edge to it that you don't get, a certain energy. And plus, that's another way to connect with, you know, whoever it is that's putting the event together. You know, I personally would think more of that would be a good thing for us. And finally, Arlene, I'd like to ask you, beyond that, how do you think two questions, how can our committee help you, and how do you see yourself going about instituting or moving towards programming changes at the station?
I'm sorry, but you broke up on that last one, and I didn't catch it.
Oh, I'm sorry. How do you see yourself, you know, the fact that the stations are somewhat quasi-independent, how do you see yourself moving towards, you know, facilitating programming changes at the stations in a way that would increase listenership and, you know, make our stations more financially sustainable and, you know, provide better programming and meet our mission better?
You know, I think that's a terrific question, and I certainly don't have all the answers, but I think that we begin by doing a better job of promoting what we're going to do so that stations at least have the opportunity to get excited about it. There's still that old issue. I know this used to happen a lot at WMNF, that if something was coming down that was a special that actually we had significant interest in among our listenership, sometimes the small group of the programmers themselves and a very small core group of listeners might manage to veto something just by making a lot of noise. And so we have to find ways to really look at the reality of the situation and get some people on board. And sometimes that's easier said than done. I certainly don't have all the answers to that. And again, that'd be a great thing if you all could talk that around and maybe begin to come up with some suggestions. Plus, it seems to me that if we have a national committee and along with that perhaps a national board that signs on to or adopts some of these proposals and says, hey, this is a really good idea, then that means that we've got some committee members and some national board members that can go back to their home stations and carry the torch a bit, and that may help pave the way.
Okay.
Beyond that, I'm open to suggestions, because I know that is an issue, and I really don't want to step on stations' autonomy, and yet at the same time, I want to see us improving and reaching more listeners out there. And I think another piece of that is, as we go forward, if we can make some training available to people at local stations. And I see training in a number of different ways, maybe through teleconferencing and perhaps some video work. But, you know, we can teach people to do a better job of delivery on the air. We can teach additional technical skills to the folks that are doing the technical parts of our broadcasting. And we can do some work with improving our pitching during our fund drives so that perhaps we can begin to cut the number of days that it's necessary to raise money on the air, because I think that's another problem that cuts into our listenership.
Okay, that's excellent. I'm very glad to hear that. I mean, I personally would like to see the foundation knitted together more than it has been. Okay, next person on the stack is Jennifer Jagger from BAI.
Yeah, hi, Arlene. Thanks.
Hi, Jennifer.
How are you? This is a great discussion, one that we've needed for a long time. You had mentioned that people you had spoken to found the programming to be sort of negative. And I listen to Pacifica all the time, particularly BAI, and there's a lot of excellent programming. But there are sometimes streams of programming where the tone is cynical and kind of negative without being informative or professional.
That's the kind of thing I was talking about.
Yeah, that's sort of like a lot
of... across the board. Yeah,
it's a lot...
across the board to have an effect.
Exactly. I think people can talk about, you know, in a negative way and still be really informative and compelling, but that's sometimes missing from the programming. As far as Al Jazeera... I think, I don't know what's going on with the negotiations, but do we know what we want from them, you know, in terms of would we want them to be on 5 days a week on all the stations? Would we want them to be on during our news broadcasts in certain stations? I mean, do we have a clear plan of what we're going to ask them for, or are we still working on that?
At this point,
Jamie?
I think we're just working on
Jamie?
That. I
yep.
think that one thing that's real clear to me is that we can't enter into any contract that requires us to go 5 days a week on all five network stations. There has to be a certain level of flexibility.
On their
okay,
part.
Folks, sorry, this is your chair jumping in. Just to remind you that we shouldn't discuss deep details of contracts on this call. I mean, not that this discussion is bad, but just to keep that in mind.
Okay. Sort of chiming in with what Benita said, it might be an interesting idea to, on a national level, I'm always interested in environmental programming, and when I ran for the LSB, it was part of what I was running on, it was that there was not enough environmental programming on BAI, and that's improved. In the last year or two. But on a national level, I thought it might be interesting to partner with an organization like Greenpeace in developing a national show. I don't know whether they'd be interested, but it seems to me that, you know, it's a worldwide organization. They're pretty radical. They have a huge membership list or organization, and if we had a show with them or another group, they could call us their radio station in their flyers and advertise Pacifica as a place to listen to information, you know, about their organizations and the environment, and we could pick up a major audience, which would, you know, go into other programming and listen to other programming. The other thing I was, as far as the program review, 2-year review, I think it's probably a good idea because there's a great deal of entrenchment in the programming in all the stations, but there's also the question of who would do the review of the programs, and also there would be the incredible staff opposition to it. and union opposition. I think that's all I have.
Okay, from the review standpoint, I can share with you what WMNF does, and keep in mind that, you know, it's Florida, so there's no union there. But the actual reviews of programs are done by the program director or the news and public affairs director, depending on which kind of program it is. In terms of looking at the overall schedule, they have a committee that has a set makeup that takes into account just about every constituency, from, you know, somebody for several staff people, a couple of programmers, volunteers, somebody from the board, somebody from the volunteer committee, that all make up this, I think it's an 8-member committee that really takes a look. But they also call an all-station meeting, at which there's a brainstorming in which people throw out, you know, ideas. It's not a matter of reviewing all the programs or anything, but certainly when that committee gets together, they say things like, you know, we think that we're really weak in this area and we need something. And then they start looking for, well, where's a spot where we maybe could improve by putting this in? So it becomes that kind of a chessboard game. Another thing that you mentioned was the idea of partnering with an organization. And one of the things I'd like to throw out to this committee, and I'd love you to discuss this maybe in another meeting, is how you feel about organizations actually hosting programs. I know that a number of years ago we had this discussion at length, or almost from the beginning they have, I guess, at WMNF, and they decided that they did not want organizations to host programs, that they would rather have individuals host programs, and that if it was an environmental program, it wouldn't be the Sierra Club or Greenpeace, but rather it would be, the person might belong to some of these organizations, but they would be bringing in many different organizations into the programming. So I'd just like to toss that out for some feedback when you have time to discuss that. Because I think it is an important issue and should perhaps be thought out pretty carefully.
Okay.
You know, thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I was, you know, to have a, just to sort of extend that thought for a minute, an organization like Greenpeace is fairly radical, and the benefit of using an organization as opposed to just having an environmental programming is basically their list and the flyers, you know, the tens of thousands that they send out every month to members where they could advertise Pacifica. And I think, you know, that would be the trade-off, giving a specific organization a show and them advertising Pacifica in all their mailings.
I'm not sure stance either way. I just would love to hear you debate it some more and give me some future.
Yeah, and I understand the opposition to it. So.
Okay, thank you.
Jen, would you add a few answers, Jack, please?
Certainly. So that's thank you, Jennifer, and I do thank you, Jennifer, for bringing up the question of review of programs. I actually had that on my list but forgot to get to it. You know, not reviewing programming is a real problem for a listener-sponsored network.
This is Betty. Is it too late for me to weigh in?
Why don't I put you on the staff?
Okay.
We have, let's see, so far next we have Sasha, Leslie, Shara, Mafia, and Betty. So next on the stack would be Sasha Futron from KPFA, LSC member.
Hi.
Hi, Sasha.
Hi, Arlene. So I had a couple of quick questions, and at this point I do want to make a comment. I sort of tuned in late, as it were, and so missed the beginning, but I think I got the gist of what was said. So my questions are basically, would you think that the review would be of the paid staff, as we have at KPFA, as well as the volunteers? And then based on what was said during the course of this, I'm just curious, why not all five stations, 5 days for Al Jazeera? And then I'd like to make a comment.
Well, in terms of who would be reviewed, if we're reviewing programming at any station, as far as I'm concerned, it's all programming. It doesn't matter who does it. If it's a good program, you know, it probably belongs in the schedule. If it's a program that, for whatever reason, doesn't measure up to standards, whether the delivery isn't good or whether the material that's covered isn't good, then it doesn't belong there. And station or the network has to come up with some way to determine that. At WMNF, where I come from, as I say, those reviews are done by the program director and the news and public affairs director. Most of the programs there are hosted by volunteers, so it's mostly volunteers that are being reviewed, but not 100%. And then some of the paid staff host programs on their own time, and those are reviewed just as much and on occasion have been discontinued. I'm sorry, I forgot what your second question was.
The Al Jazeera, why not all five stations, 5 days?
Because all I'm saying is that I think that whoever decided to carry it, I think it's up to each station, and I wouldn't want to put the network in a position where we were dictating to every station carry.
Okay, so I had a couple of comments. One, I wanted to sort of do a beginning of an answer to your question about organizations hosting programs. I personally don't think that organizations should host programs, and that's partially because I come at this as somebody who works in the media as a journalist and as a show host and so forth, and I just think that's, first of all, too much promotion for an organization, and maybe even should we get a lot of listeners, could have some impact on what organizations make it and what organizations don't and so forth. I would think that if we did a good job of covering that organization's issue and if we included them as appropriate and we're good at that, that an approach could be made to the organization about help, asking them for help in promoting a local station because it needs that kind of help, and if we needed to pay a little bit to have use of their list, whether we actually got the addresses or not, whether they did the mailing, I would think that, you know, something like that could be worked out if we were actually covering an issue well. But that's just sort of my initial approach. It's you just simply don't hand me, as a journalist, you don't hand the news coverage of environmental issues to any organization, no matter how much we might all 100%, which would be incredible in the Pacifica system that we all agreed 100%. But let's just, for the fun of it, say we did, even if we thought this just was a wonderful organization. I just think that's not something that one does.